We label people easily in our country and call them champions and legends, etc. And sometimes we forget that it might be sport and we do get carried away, but we love people to win. But when you talk about real heroes, are people that save people's lives and people that are prepared to perhaps go where nobody else is prepared to go. And that's the best way to describe Professor Charlie Teo, AM, a renowned neurosurgeon. And he's joining us right now for a big event that's happening in Perth on June the 9th. I'm sure Charlie will explain that to us in a moment. Good morning to you, sir.
Hey, Steve. Good morning.
Mate, let's get the plug out of the way because it's an important bit of fundraising. I know that you've got your big ball on, the gala ball. It's on at Optus Stadium this year, which is fantastic. And it supports your foundation, the Charlie Teo Foundation. Just explain what the ball is about and also what your foundation does.
Well, the ball was an initiative of one of my patients' fiancée, Maddie, or wife, actually. She, I think the first one was last year, which I attended, and it was great ball. And this year it's getting bigger and better, basically. I think we had about 350 last year, and we're hoping for about 500 this year.
Well, we're talking with a man who probably deals with dangerous situations when you're doing outside broadcasts. The line dropped out. Our apologies for that, Charlie. You were describing about the brain cancer ball and the fact that it was set up by Maddie. Do you want to continue from that point?
Yeah, so Maddie was married to a chap called Ben McCracken, who was a lovely man, very young, and sort of had the world at his feet, and was taken out very early in his disease with brain cancer. And Maddie made a pledge to him that she would never go trying to find a cure or treatments for brain cancer, and hence the ball. And,
excellent.
Because that resonates with me, because I feel exactly the same way, that I'm not sort of ever going to give up until we find a cure for this terrible disease.
Yeah, no, it's awful. It's a brain cancer ball. It's in Perth on the 9th of June. If you have a look on our website, on their website, you'll be able to find plenty of details. Charlie, you are a man that's prepared to go where others won't go. Some might say that's risky. Have you always been a risk taker?
No, it's kind of funny. I never really see myself as a risk taker, but the things I do have been considered risky. I mean, I ride a motorbike like an idiot, and so it's like taking risks, I guess. And I take on cases that I think should be taken on. I don't do them because I think, here I go, I'm going to do something risky or do something that someone else won't do. It's just something that I feel needs to be done and should be done. And then on reflection, of course, it is something that other people would find too risky to do. And so, yeah, I guess I've been labelled with risk taker, but it's not as if I think I am.
We were saying at the start of our interview that often we think of things as life and death, but you are dealing with that. It's in your hands, and family must obviously be at a wit's end when they have a loved one that is diagnosed with an altercation, if you like, with the brain in whatever fashion that might be. It's just such a stressful time, not only for the patient but for the family. And you have to walk a fine line, I suppose, many occasions with the families.
Oh, absolutely, because, there's a very fine line, Steve, between arrogance and confidence. And so when you say, look, I think I can do this tumour or I can give it a shot, are you being arrogant or are you just being incredibly confident? So that's the first thing. The family have to instill quite a bit of trust in you that you're not being an arrogant person, a surgeon. And secondly, of course, when things go badly, and I'm not saying they don't, oftentimes they do, and when they do, the family have to feel like they've made the right decision. The patient has to feel like they've made the right decision based on the right, intentions and preoperative consent and all that kind of stuff. And so there is a real bond and a real connection between the family and myself when you make these life and death decisions.
And often they've been elsewhere, perhaps, and everyone said, no, I'm sorry, it's inoperable, there's nothing we can do, but you do offer hope. Obviously, you don't want to offer false hope, and that has been accused on occasions, I would assume that you never give people a false understanding of what could happen at the end of it. You have to be up front. These are the dangers that are involved if you really want to tackle this particular operation.
Look, Steve, it's pretty simple, really. If a doctor came out and started offering false hope, made false promises, and had more bad outcomes than good outcomes, he just wouldn't survive the climate. In Australia, with social media the way it is and medical litigation the way it is. So, I've been around for 30 years. I've done almost 10,000 brain tumours now. I'm sort of seduced from all around the world to operate on difficult cases all around the world, and I just don't think you'd have that reputation if you were offering false hope or false promises.
Yeah. There'll be people that are listening to us this morning. We're talking with Professor Charlie Teo that may have recently been diagnosed with a brain tumour or some issue with the brain. It always seems such a major thing, but you've obviously had successes as well. What would you say to those people today, Charlie?
Well, my colleagues are going to hate this because, well, they hate me, but the thing I would implore people to do is always get a second opinion. I mean, I don't know why people don't. I see so many patients. Well, more than 90% of my patients have had an opinion from someone else or surgery from someone else. Their tumour's been deemed inoperable. They've been sent home to die, and that is absolutely not the case. And so, like, I don't know why people don't get a second. They get a second opinion when they get their car fixed or their refrigerator fixed, but they won't when their body breaks down. And I think there's this sort of all-pervasive opinion that doctors are all about of the same level, and you know, they will all do the best thing by you. And you know, if they can't do it, they'll refer you to someone else who can. And I hate to say it, but it's not the case. You know, it's. Doctors are like humans, and we have our, you know, foibles, and
like all of
some
us.
Of us are arrogant, some of us are sort of, you know, have our own hidden agendas and stuff. And so I think it's always really, really important to get a second opinion from someone, you know, not associated with the first person, because again, if you get an opinion from someone who's the partner of the first person, of course you're gonna share the same opinion.
Well, Charlie, there's a saying, you can't be a messiah in your own land. You must feel like that on occasions, but a lot of people love what you do, and people will get behind the brain cancer ball here in Perth on the 9th of June. We appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. That's very nice.
Good on you. Professor Charlie Teo, AM.